So here we go. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, Helen Keller said this, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. Amen? So I brought this with me today. I didn't have a 50 piece. So I had a 750 piece. But I want you to think about this puzzle. And any puzzle that you have in your house today. Because each piece of a puzzle represents each of us as part of the church. A different shape, a different color, a different place that we need to be part of the church. A different place that we fit. But each piece represents a bigger piece of the picture, right? Because without these pieces, and they tend to stray, we would not have a beautiful picture. Amen? Putting a jigsaw together requires foresight. It requires vision. It requires selflessness. Why selflessness? Because sometimes you need somebody to come alongside you. Because sometimes you just stared at that same picture for just way too long. And you don't notice the pieces that have been right in front of you all that time. You see, our life is nothing but a jigsaw puzzle. But it's God's beautiful mess, right? He doesn't make a mess. He makes a beautiful one. He knew exactly what he was doing when he brought us all together. And just like a puzzle, it's through authenticity and intentionality that we come together, that requires believers to come together piece by piece. The role in which we ensure to be a part of that team. And just like missing pieces in the jigsaw prevent the whole picture from being developed, in the church, a key gift that somebody has that's missing in the church today can be devastating. And it's leaders within our church that need to continue to recognize and encourage and review the gifts that each member has, just like we need to look for future gifts that somebody may have when they walk in the door. And like any good jigsaw puzzle, there's great satisfaction when the final picture is seen. It's a perfect picture. And that's what God wants to see in his church today. Amen? And once that's been completed, leaders in our church body are continuously encouraging one another to make sure these pieces aren't lost and to make sure these pieces aren't moved and to make sure that everything works together. Because we've all been given a gift, right? So Paul talks about spiritual gifts in chapter 12. And we're going to read that today. But he talks about what they are. Today we're going to talk about how they are supposed to be used. So I'm going to read for us today because it's rather long. But if you can stand with me, I'm going to read God's word today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 to 26 says this, "For the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." You may be seated. May God's word be blessed today. That was a long stand. Thank you. In chapter 12, verse 13, Paul writes this. And we just read it, but I'm going to read from the Amplified version. For by one Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. It says, united together, we were all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. God is making two things one. What he means is that God made you to become one with the church through the Holy Spirit. When you believed, when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you were marked with a seal. And I don't want to jump ahead too quick. Go over to Ephesians 1, verse 13. I'll wait a minute for you to get there. As I get there. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believed in him, were stamped. You were stamped with the seal of the promised, the Holy Spirit. And in the church, in God's church, we don't look at the wealthy. We don't look at the unwealthy. We don't look at the blue collar or the white collar. We don't look at who's on what committee and who runs what kind of business. We are one. Amen? We've been given the same Spirit, and God has united us together in one body. And what's that called? The church. When you trusted Jesus Christ at that moment, you had the Spirit of God living in you. That is why you are miserable when you sin. That is why when you come to church frustrated or angry or bitter, you have not allowed God to take those burdens with you before you've got here. And what happens is God wrecks your flesh with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Look at 14. I'll try not to be so excited, but these are good words. Look at 1 Corinthians verse 14, all the way to 20. I won't read it all, but Paul writes this, for the human body does not consist of one part, but many limbs and organs. If the foot says, I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's not the contrary, it's still part of the body. And he goes on to talk about this. If they were all a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? All right, time to be a nurse. I'll try it. My shirt's coming untucked already. Listen, your heart is a master organ, okay? It circulates blood throughout your whole body. Your blood comes from your venous system, okay? Now, I'm going to go somewhere with this, so hang on. Blood comes in your inferior vena cava. You heard of that before, your superior vena cava, right? Okay, you with me? And it goes into your right atrium. All right, there's four chambers in your heart. There's a meaning to this, trust me. It goes into your atrium, okay? And when it goes in, and there's another nurse in here, may have to correct me because sometimes I get excited. Goes in your atrium into your ventricle, your right ventricle, okay? So deoxygenated blood that's pumped throughout your body as oxygenated blood comes back. And it goes through your heart. And after it hits your right ventricle, it goes into your pulmonary system and it goes into your lungs and your pulmonary artery and comes back out again. It gets the oxygen that already left through all the organs. But it comes through your body and it hits your left atrium, okay? Johnny, I'm looking at you. You know all about your heart, brother. Goes in your left atrium. And from your left atrium, it goes into your left ventricle. And that's when it's ready to go out. It's ready to take all that oxygenated blood that all of a sudden your lungs have given, and it goes into your aorta. And your aorta just pumps that blood right into your body. Did I lose you? So your heart's necessary, and your lungs are necessary. But let's talk about your liver. Is your liver necessary? Man, you better believe it is. See, we think, oh, it's just a liver. I can live with a part of my liver. You can. But if you don't have a liver, your blood will never clot. If you don't have a liver, it's a filtering organ, just like your kidneys are. It's not going to be able to protect you from those toxins that enter your bloodstream. If you don't have a liver, your brain is going to swell. See, it's an organ that's there, but it's not one of those organs that people always talk about, your heart and your lung. What about your kidneys? Yes, you can live with one kidney, but it's needed so you can filter what the blood flows through your body. Every single organ in your body, even those things that are called vestigial organs, Yeah, those organs like your appendix, that, like, why do I need that? You need it. You do need it. Although you take it out, your body does something different. Every organ in your body is important. Why did I do that? This is why I did it. Because the Bible says, look, just like every organ in your body is important, every body in your church is important. We need to be content with what God has gifted you. We all serve a purpose. We may sit there and think, I don't serve any purpose. If you are the body, if we have the organs in our body, God made you to serve a purpose. And this is why I get so excited, because I can't wait to see what God does for you, as you hear what he says about this. What we've been given, and the gifts that we've been given that Paul talks about in the prior verses, we've been given to serve a purpose. The church is about many parts, Paul says, but what was happening in the church in Corinth, that people were super spiritualizing their gift. They were sensationalizing their gift. They were telling people, hey, this is my gift, check it out. People would say, well, I don't have that gift. I must not be important to the church body. People began to look down on themselves for what they didn't have or what they couldn't do. So what Paul is doing in verse 14 to 20, he's taking those gifts that people are boasting about, saying, hey, look what I have. And he's putting them down to the bottom. And he says, hey, there's more important things than just you. Here's what I mean. Someone says, look, I can't really do what other people can do. What I can offer is nothing compared to what that person can do. Or I've heard this, you know, I just don't know scripture that good. I'm just not that good enough. Well, check this out. As a young man, he went to war a captain and returned a private. After a failed business and unable to be a lawyer in Illinois because he was too impractical and had too much of a temper, he lost his job. So he tried to be nominated into Congress, only be defeated as commissioner. He was defeated as senator twice. He was even defeated as vice president. And in age of 49, he says this, I am the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there'd be not one cheerful face on earth. But then in March of 1861, Abraham Lincoln was nominated and sworn in as the President of the United States. An example of pursuing a gift, of pursuing a talent at all cost and not giving up. Working to find your piece of the puzzle. You see, you can't deny your part and say you don't belong. Because when you do that, you disable yourself. You disable the part where you're placed, and the part within the church body is disabled when you do. We're all on the team that God has created, and God has brought us together. No one person is above another just because of the talent that they have. We are called to serve and to give and provide in ways that we may never not know yet. Just like organs of the body, the hearts, the lungs, the brain, yes, the liver, each of them serve a purpose. And the same holds true within your role of the church. If you stop functioning and you decide to shut down, there's going to be a breakdown throughout the whole church. And the effects will be seen. The fact that if a foot says, look, I'm not needed, or the ear says, look, I don't belong here, that's just the same thing as saying, look, so-and-so says they just don't have a part in the church anymore. Or this person says that they just don't serve a purpose. You can't stay invisible and do nothing for the church. God has arranged them, and he arranged us just as he wanted us to be. Our design, from the master decorator, the master interior design, the master fixer-upper, it's complete. His work is done. And we know that God knit us together, right? Knit us together in our mother's womb. And we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. Go look in the book of Acts 17. Because I want you to hear this too. We're going to go over to Acts 17. This is how I know that we're part of something big. He not only says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, he says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their land and territories. If God knew exactly where and when you were going to be born and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, don't you think that you're in for something big? Some people will view themselves as either ultra important or I'm just not very important at all. And when you get caught in something like this, you tend to get caught up in what we call self-pity. Y'all been there? I've been there before. And sometimes it's a place that the enemy just takes me because maybe we're just not good enough. Or maybe it's just one of those things where it's just gotten out of hand. And most of us will suffer that self-pity. And many times we can definitely make a habit out of that. But it creates self-destructive cycle in our spiritual lives. And this is what happens when we live in a world of self-pity and we don't accept the gift that God gives us. We love drama. We crave drama. Y'all been there? We tend to live in the past. Man, we love what once was. We have an unhealthy habit that everything needs to be our idea. And if it's not, man, our bubble is bursting. And we have a strong fighting instinct immediately following any negative reaction we have. Look, this can never be a healthy part of God's plan. Do you know what I mean? If we as Christians, if we all pursued the same puzzle piece, if we all looked alike and had the same talent, that puzzle, the church body, would be deformed. You understand that? Paul is saying that we are an intentional work of God. What was happening that the church in Corinth had people that would overestimate their potential, and that would lead to somebody else underestimating their potential. Rivalry within the church ceases. Rivalry within the church ceases when true concern for one another, when there is true concern for one another. There is value in an automatic response to be cared for. I use this example. What happens if you smack your left hand with a hammer? Hopefully you don't say many things, but when you do, what's your first response? You hold it with your right hand, right? Whose right hand are you going to be? We can't all be a left hand. Diversity is healthy amongst the body of the church. Let me ask you this. If God designed you for something and you know you have a challenge, a talent, but you choose not to provide it, is it a sin? I'm going to ask you again, and I would love to see head shaking. If God designed you for something and you know that you have the talent to use it and you choose not to, is it a sin? Yes. In sports, what's it called? Sandbagging, right? When you have this special talent that you're not using, you're deliberately performing to a lower level. When the church becomes a factory that produces uniform Christians, in other words, the body of a church becomes fully dependent upon the loudest voice or the most confident members, the church becomes disabled. It will not work the way that God intended it to work. And many within the church today, and don't look around or think about anyone else, but you'll understand what I mean, are dormant to the abilities that you know you definitely have. And it disables the church from moving on to the mission in which that church was called. Amen? You can't cease to be a foot. God designed you to be a foot. You can't say, look, I don't like the way I smell. I want to be an ear, because I want to hear everything that goes on in the life of a church. Where would our balance be if we didn't have a right and a left foot? Don't let others disqualify you from being who God made you to be. Amen? Verse 19 says this. Oh, I got to get there. If they were all a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? But now, as they really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body. Remember, we're all responsible for the circulation of the Spirit within the church. When there is interruption in that circulation, when you choose to disrupt the Holy Spirit from working in your life or the life of a church, what happens to that limb when it receives no blood flow? It's cut off, right? And if you're choosing to cut off the circulation of the Spirit because you're afraid to use a talent that you've been given, we need to really pray about those around you if we're really encouraging you, because you're part of the puzzle just like everybody else is. Amen? Be content with what God has given you. Y'all been nervous speaking in front of people? I mean, I used this earlier, but if I ask you to come pray up here, I'm going to call on somebody to come pray up here in a minute, I think all your eyes would go down to the floor, right? Because our job in life is not to publicly speak. That's a special gift for somebody else. But we're missing out if we don't get a chance to hear your heart. We may say, look, I get so nervous. I don't think I can do that because I don't have or I can't do what they do. You're exactly right. You're not going to have what they have, and you're not going to be able to do what they do because you're unique and you're specifically made. Your works are miraculous. How do we know that? It's in the Bible. Every hair on your head is numbered. How do we know that? Because Jesus said so. Moving on to 21 to 24. Be content with whom God has brought amongst you. Be content with whom God brought amongst you. The Corinthian church, those within the body of the church were looking down on each other. Y'all been a receiver of that before when people look down upon you? Or have you been a giver of that before when you are looking down on somebody else? Can you imagine the feeling or hearing another brother or sister and they say this, look, we really don't need you here. We're good. We have a really good thing going on here and we really don't need you to come in here and mess it up. If you're truly one with the Spirit and you've been sealed, it should be impossible for us to look down on each other. No one person in the body of Christ is unimportant. Look around. Seriously, look around. Make that awkward eye contact, because every person in here should feel equally valued, right? Every person in here should matter because they are a piece of the puzzle that God had provided the church body. And this is what's being said, what should be said. When we walk in the church today, we should run up the aisle. It is so good to see you here today. I wonder what God has brought here today. I wonder why Barry's here today. I don't wonder that, but that's good. But shouldn't we do that? I mean, how many of you today looked at that door when you heard it open? Or you saw people walk through that door and you went over there and said, man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do through you today. Because that's the excitement that we should have as a church. As a church body that we've been called to this community, we all matter. And we're all a piece of God's puzzle. Amen? So when somebody comes in that door, man, it drives my kids awkward to crazy because I go, hey, I'm Chuck Workman, Shiloh Baptist. Lee's hiding back there, like, don't come my way. Here's the thing, the cameras aren't touching me, so that's good. We have got to be excited when people come in our church body. We cannot remain sitting down and hoping that they come to you. We got to say, what gift do you have? But see, our flesh is like, wait a minute, can they sing better than I can sing? Do they teach better than I can teach? Are they a little more friendly? Man, I hope they are, because for the sake of God's kingdom, we need better and better Christians every day. You with me? Sorry for the camera. I don't know if it'll get me, Brad, but sorry, I'm all over the place. I actually have it here. Run up the aisle. It's good. The absence of necessity happens to each one of us when we are looked upon as being invisible. You ever look right through somebody? You ever been the receiver of being looked right through? Then that hurts. Look at 1 Peter 4, 10, 11. Church, we need you. Church, we can't exist without you. And I wish I could take the time and give eye contact to every single one of you. We cannot be the body of Christ that God has called us to be unless you're with us. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent and ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another. It's appropriate and be good stewards of God's multifaceted grace. Whoever speaks to the congregation is to do so as one speaks the utterances, the very words of God. When we preach, when we teach, when we read scripture, do we realize that we're reading the word of God? Man, what a privilege it is. We get to come on Sunday mornings and hear it sung through worship, our quiet time throughout the week. I can't get over it sometimes. Every believer is gifted to serve. We are held accountable for using our gift in the best interest of who we receive it from. Well, wait a minute. Does that mean that when another is looked down upon for not having the strength of the gift that we think we should have? Or maybe this, you hold the strength in that you know you have because you feel as though you're unimportant, that you'll one day answer the Lord? Yep, you better believe it. Those who think they're weaker are absolutely necessary in the Bible or in the body. It says so in verse 23. Check out verse 23 in 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to, 23. And for those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, we treat with greater honor. Just as special attention through clothing is given to certain parts of the body, so should also be true in the church, especially those Christians who feel that they're less honorable, who feel that they're unworthy. They should receive this special attention. There should never be a time when we as believers allow others to be overlooked because they have been made or felt insignificant in the life of the church. The church is a place where everyone should be treated important. Everyone is vital. Every one of those pieces is important in the life of a church. And moving on, it all comes together in verse 24, but God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor all the way to 26. And if one member suffers, all parts share the suffering. We are to be content with what and whom God has given. Be content with what and whom God has given. Every relationship in the life of the church, and when I say that, I'm not talking about specific churches. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. I'm saying that every brother and sister relationship in the body of Christ matters. And when it doesn't, that's when divisions begin to start within friendships. And before long, a forest fire just breaks out. And how do you stop a forest fire? Well, you burn the things around it before it gets to you. How do we suffer? We all suffer together. How do we rejoice? We all rejoice together. That means we rejoice when one is honored. We should have equal concerns across the board. We are to travel the road with others as though we are traveling ourselves. Here's what I need you to hear. There'll be times that you'll suffer. You'll suffer physically. You'll suffer emotionally. You'll suffer financially. You'll suffer spiritually. Where are you, though, as others are hurting or grieving? Because if you're not grieving with them, if you're not hurting with them, you can't blame people for not suffering with you when you do. You've got to be connected. And here's the thing. We can't be that piece of the puzzle. You know, when you open up that box, that puzzle that you have, sometimes there's like three or four puzzle pieces that are already connected. You've seen that before? You're going, well, that's a gift. Well, that's the church. If you walk into a church, you're going to see three or four people over here. You're going to see four or five people over here. Can you disconnect from your comfortable zone? from your comfort zone? Can you disconnect and become a part of God's picture and not just your picture? See, that's what's being said here. Tara and I have been suffering over the last 10 years. I'll just be brutally honest with you. Our family suffered. Been overwhelming? Yeah, sure it has. It's been difficult. And at times we felt invisible. And I could probably say that through it all, the church helped the least. Have you been there? Church, have you been there? Because if you have, you will never want to experience that again. But here's what we need to understand and what Jesus tells us in John 16:33. What's he say? For in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but take heart, what? I have overcome the world. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's who directs our life. That's who gives us our spiritual gift so we can become part of God's perfect plan. Suffering alone is lonely, and you'll get to that point where you'll divide your attention, you'll divide your allegiance. And when you get there, man, you can easily build a wall. But we as a church must stand shoulder to shoulder to remove those walls, to be a church body that's constantly leaning on one another for the special gift that God has given you. And you matter. And when this happens, brick by brick, when you remove that wall, there is healing. And it's amazing to watch that healing because it's no longer your picture. It's God's picture. Nobody should be more excited for the great things that are going on in your life than the church. We should be excited together as a family. The body of the church becomes as important to me as my own body. We can't be apart, away from our own body. We must be used by each other to serve the purpose of becoming the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our brokenness and the fact that we need you to put us back together, because it's when we come to you in our brokenness that we can be complete. So Father, I pray today that if there's someone here today that doesn't feel like they're part of the master plan, that they're a piece of the puzzle that's not been used, that you use them today. And if someone here today does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ and they desire to bring that brokenness to the cross, that they come today. And as a church, that we celebrate that they're not alone. And maybe it's just the prayer that we need, Lord, and the burdens we carry. And it's time to be that puzzle piece that comes back to your plan. And we come up here and we pray to the altar. Maybe today, Lord, there's somebody here that would like to make Shiloh Baptist Church their family. And Lord, if today is that day, allow them to come forward and allow us as a church body to celebrate that decision. We love you and we thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.